If I'd been out till 2:45, would you lock the door? Will you still need me? Will you still feed me when I'm 64?
Welcome, good afternoon. This is Dr. Rob Stahl with What Should You Expect at Your Age? The answer to that is a lot, and that's what we're here to talk about. Today's topic is adult daycare, and I have two wonderful guests with me today. Mr. Larry Vogel, director of the Schofield Residence Adult Day Healthcare Program, and Ms. Kathy Farris, senior daycare program supervisor of Catholic Charities. Welcome to you both, and let's start with you, Kathy. Tell me about what you do currently and how you got involved in services for older adults.
I've been at Catholic Charities for a little over 16 years. I started as the supervisor for the adult daycare program and Family Focus, and now I supervise all the aging programs that we offer.
Well, it sounds like a wonderful program that you're coordinating, and the overall aging services of Catholic Charities. Now, Larry, tell me about what you do at Schofield and what your background has been in healthcare.
I've been a nurse for over 30 years. Prior to coming to Schofield, I thought I had done most everything there was in nursing up until that point. I've been with Schofield I'm in my fifth year now, and prior to that I was doing home care for 9 years. I was not aware of medical daycare. I had no idea what it was, and I was lucky enough to get the position.
Kathy, what's the way that someone gets to your program, and what would a typical day be like?
Okay, we basically serve the same population, only their level of the type of assistance that they need during the day to remain independent differs usually. Our goal in our program is not rehabilitation oriented, it's making the most of what they have left. It's sort of like the opposite of the medical model. We're not there to really treat an illness or to increase someone's functioning level the way a medical program would or a physical therapist would, but we set as one of our highest goals the ability for someone to maintain in their own home.
Well, the difference between someone staying at home alone all day, maybe at 11 o'clock in the morning watching The Price is Right and feeling in touch with that way, but to have that human interaction, to hear someone talk to you, to see their expression, someone touch you. I find in my practice, and I've thought about this a lot, that what's lacking for people to a good extent is direct interaction, touch, and touch through voice and sight and physical contact.
Absolutely. And the other thing that we offer is similar to a lot of other social model day programs in the area. We're on the second floor over a child daycare program, and we do a tremendous amount of intergenerational activities. A lot of the folks we have in our program, their children have moved away. They see their grandchildren maybe once or maybe twice a year. So this gives them an opportunity, if they choose to actually have activities with the children.
Yeah. Now, Larry, when someone comes in, heads up to therapy, let's say they see the physical therapist, they've had a stroke, they've had intensive rehab, perhaps in a subacute care setting or in the hospital itself. Just describe, for those who haven't had the opportunity to see a therapist in action, what exactly do therapists do beyond what a doctor might prescribe, just giving someone exercises to do at home?
It would all depend on the extent of the injury that they have.
I've seen therapy in action. Occupational therapy, it's an old term, I think, that came about when occupational therapists, I think, did exactly that, help people get back to be able to do their occupations. For example, writing, managing paperwork, skills that they needed perhaps to work on an assembly line and that sort of thing. And now occupational therapy focuses on things that someone would need to know how to do to live effectively at home. Getting dressed by yourself.
Exactly. Use a telephone.
Right. Exactly. Use a checkbook, that sort of thing. And I know if I give exercise instructions to a patient, I'm lucky if they do it one time out of 10. And And I know if my doctor gives size instructions, he'd be lucky if I do it one time out of 100. In a controlled setting, someone goes there, it's very comfortable, the staff understands what's going on with the patient. It's a dramatic thing that one day you're able to do everything, and you know, a month later you've had this stroke and you can no longer use your body, you can no longer speak sometimes. So the therapist is critical, and that specific training, like you said, keeping things loose, making sure joints don't get stiff, doing range of motion as it's called, getting muscles stronger so that people are able to regain their ability to support their own weight. And that's where the tremendous success is in the medical daycare program.
The individual, though, is so important, because they have to want to get better. If they don't have the incentive to do it, no matter what you do, they're not going to get better. And the gains that we see are in people that are bound and determined not to let their injury get them down, and they want to get it. Makes a big difference.
Now, that brings up an interesting question. You know, what do you do with someone that seems to lack the interest to get better? There's a lot of reasons that might, maybe some just refuse. But I think most people want to be better. They want to have the function and ability to live their life the way they used to. And how do you deal with things that might appear to be depression, that might appear to be lack of interest, where it might be inability to understand instructions? How do you handle that?
Depression's a big issue. I think anybody can understand that if your whole body image has changed, you were a healthy, strapping person running down the street, and now you can't even get out of bed by yourself, you're going to be depressed, and it's a normal reaction. People progress through it in various ways, and sometimes they have to have medication to pull them out of it.
So why don't we start with you, Larry, as far as what exactly is the eligibility and how is the service paid for?
To be eligible for the program, you have to be over 18 and have need for rehabilitation services or a nursing skill. CADE Medicaid will pay for the complete program plus transportation. Now there's nine different medical programs in the West New York area, and the rates do vary. I can only speak for ours. Our rate right now is $98 a day.
That's for a full day.
It's at least 5 hours. You have to come for a 5-hour minimum, and you can come up to 8 hours. We do have some individuals almost for the full day, because their needs are such that the caregivers are either working or are out of the house during those hours.
Okay, Kathy, your program and the different reimbursements, I know, make it somewhat difficult to keep the programs, and different eligibilities also make it somewhat tricky to keep them organized. But tell me about social daycare.
Okay. Social day, and Larry said earlier, he's getting a younger clientele. Our population is going in the other direction. We've seen changes in that we're really getting older and frailer clients in our program than we did before. Right now, of the 53 current participants, all of them are at least 60 years of age. We're very fortunate in that we basically have three tracks that people can come to our program on. One is subsidies that are provided by the Erie County Department of Senior Services. There are three basic programs, both state and federal, that can help subsidize someone coming to program a maximum of 2 days a week. So if someone's over the age of 60 and they would benefit from our program and meet the eligibility, which is basically some assistance either in activities of daily living, like they can't cook for themselves, they might need some minimum assistance in setting up their plate for lunch, need some assistance in toileting and those sorts of things, or they simply need supervision during the day.
And it might be unsafe for them to stay
Absolutely.
At home.
Absolutely. They can get 2 days, and the only fee that's involved in it is a voluntary contribution, and those 2 days can be subsidized. Another big source for our program is also a Medicaid program, but it's called the Nursing Home Without Walls or the Long-Term Home Health Care Program. Very often, people are getting services, the same rehabilitative services or nursing is at home, but they're nurses who are their case managers because of things like depression and isolation, feel like they need a reason to get up and get dressed during the day. They can get them up and get them dressed if they want to. So very often, they order adult daycare as one of the services that their patients get. And the range, I think ours is probably one of the lowest. It's $37 a day. It goes up, I think, right now to about $45 a day. And that includes two hot meals and anywhere from five, and our program goes up to a maximum of 9 hours a day, so it can accommodate families.
Now, while both of you have been talking, I've thought of about questions. I don't know if we'll have time to cover them all, but just to put things in perspective, are each of your programs growing, shrinking in the number of enrollees? And
back in 1973, we were one of the first adult daycare programs in the country. We had the only act in town, so we always had a waiting list. Now the choices have increased, and of course it's better for them not to have to travel as far to get to a program. We're located in the city, and there's lots of programs available in the suburbs. We have pretty much maintained our numbers for about the last 5 years.
One issue with people with dementia can be behavioral problems, and how do you handle that? You don't notice them beforehand and they crop up while at the program, or even if it's known that there are behavioral issues, does that automatically exclude someone from a program?
No. We do a lot of behavior modification in program, and again, we use that peer network and the fact that they're in a group program. Many of the people that do have behavioral problems, there's a medical basis often, either a medical basis of some kind of illness like a stroke that's affected them, or some cognitive disease that is causing them to lose some of the capabilities that they used to have before in making good decisions. We use the Central Behavior Modification Plan. Every one of our participants, just like in Larry's program, has an individual care plan that we decide early on with the family and with the patient, those things that we want to work on.
And probably as many hugs as possible.
Absolutely.
And as much laughing as possible.
Absolutely.
Plenty of music, too. And
do a lot of music therapy, do a lot of art therapy.
And Larry, what about the growth of the medical model daycare? Is it expanding, decreasing? Where do you see medical daycare going in the next 10 years?
In our region, we have monthly meetings with the all the medical programs. The census and other programs is cyclical. It'll go up, it'll go down. It's what I'm told. Don't worry. Don't worry, it'll go back up. In reality, though, as far as the numbers, it should be going up. There's a greater need, more elderly people, and there's more need for programs for the disabled. I think that education's an important thing. I'm not sure individuals are aware of the programs that are out there.
And that's why we have them today, because I know that people just don't know about programs like this and other programs that can help.
And usually people don't look until there's a crisis. They start, what can I do, where can I go? And at that time, it might be a little late to start applying for different...
Right. Now, Kathy, you mentioned that other states have blended models. Do you know of models around the world, anything really on the edge, experimental, that might be worth thinking about locally or New York State to push our bureaucrats toward?
We've had a theory that when people get older, they want to be separated from other age groups. And other settings, like in housing, for example, we've built all kinds of senior housing type buildings and basically isolated elder. In other areas, they tend to have them remain more in a community setting with young people, middle-aged people, and trying to keep that sense of community intact and diversity.
For me, my kids help keep me young, and my grandparents helped give me that perspective too of how to age gracefully. And I know also bringing in pets is something that's done in the nursing home setting. I don't know if
we do it in Dixon.
Yeah. Well, we're running to the end, and I just want to give out the phone numbers again. The Schofield Residents Adult Day Healthcare Program, 874-1566, and the Catholic Charities call 856-4494 and ask for aging intake or ask for specifically extension 3010-3010. I'm going to put guests on the spot. There is something called the daycare song. And I know Kathy brought along a copy, so Larry's has heard of it. This is going to be his first time singing it, and it's to the tune of Downtown by Petula Clark. And I don't know if Jimmy can whip up any background music, but it's not needed. This is going to be the a cappella version of it. Hit it, gang. Go to it.
When you're alone and life is making you cranky, you can always go to daycare. When you're confused and you have nothing to lose, you can always go to daycare.
That was wonderful. I think I should have kept out of that totally. This has been great. I think we covered a lot of important information about adult daycare. Thank you so much. Thank you all for listening, and I'll see you next time.
Birthday greetings, bottle of wine.